देवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 18 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। वन्ने चरु पुरोडाशय निर्वपेत कालचोदितान् न तु श्रुतेन पशुना माम यजेत वन आश्रमी। वन्यश्चरु पुरोडाशैर् निर्वपेत कालचोदिता न तु श्रुतेन पशुना मामेजेत वनाश्रमी। वनश्चरु पुरोडाशैर् निर्वपेत कालचोदिता न तु श्रुतेन पशुना माम्यजेत वनाश्रमी। वनैश्च चरु पुरोडाशैर् निर्वपेत कालचोदितान् न तु श्रुतेन पशुना माम्यजेत वनाश्रमी। माता जी
नमस्कार।
వన్నే ఆప్టెండ్ ఇన్ ద ఫారెస్ట్ చెరు విత్ ఒబ్లేషన్స్ ఆఫ్ రైస్ బార్లీ అండ్ దాల్ బీన్స్ పురోడాశయ అండ్ సాక్రిఫిషియల్ కేక్స్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ విత్ వైల్డ్ రైస్ నిర్వపే వన్ షుడ్ ఆఫర్ కాలచోదితాన్ రిచువలిస్టిక్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ సచ్ యాజ్ ఆగ్రయాణ ఆఫర్డ్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ద సీజన్స్ నా నెవర్ టు ఇండీడ్ శ్రుతేన మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ ద వేదాస్ పశునా విత్ యానిమల్ సాక్రిఫైస్ మామ్ మీ యజేత మే వర్షిప్ వన ఆశ్రమీ వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ గాన్ టు ద ఫారెస్ట్ టేకింగ్ ద వానప్రస్థ ఆర్డర్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్స్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ One who has accepted the vanaprastha order of life should perform seasonal sacrifices by offering oblations of charu and sacrificial cakes prepared from rice and other grains found in the forest. The vanaprastha, however, may never offer animal sacrifices to me. Even those sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas. Purport. One who has taken the Vanaprastha order of life should never perform animal sacrifices or eat meat. Hare Krishna. Seeking blessings and prayers from all the assembled Vaishnavas to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning. So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text Number 7. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha tasya kartaram vipapam vidhi akartaram avyayam. That means these four social and four spiritual orders are established by Krishna himself. And Krishna says that we need to follow these, one of the four ashramas or varanas. And in Vedic religion, everybody is responsible. No matter what one's ashrama or varna is. Generally, a brahmana or a sannyasi is considered very high in society. Even they are subjected to follow rules and regulations. That means no one is spared. Everybody has to follow their according rules and regulations set in the scriptures. So here we see that how Lord Krishna is explaining to Uddhava, especially the principles for the Vanaprastha Ashrama. For, as I said, all four Varnas and Ashrama, they have their duties and responsibilities. For Brahmachari, it is sense control. They need to do sense control and learn the Vedas from their spiritual masters. And for Grahastha, that it is said that they should be offering charity to people in general, especially the higher classes. And Vanaprastha, it is austerity. And for Sannyasis, it is the distribution of Vedic wisdom traveling all over the world. So these are the rules, these are the services they need to render to the society. And in this particular verse, we are discussing about Vanaprastha Ashram, where the austerity is their principle of they need to follow the austerities in order to serve the society and the Lord. So we heard from a couple of classes from devotees that how Vanaprastha Ashrami need to perform the austerities as explained in the scriptures. This pure devotional service is like a tight rope, walking on a tight rope. We are all trying to perform devotional service, which is actually walking on the tight rope. So Varnashrama offers a safety net. Only when there is a safety net below, then anybody can think of walking on the tight rope. Otherwise it is too scary or highly impossible. So therefore, these varnas and ashramas are very essential so that we can perform our devotional service. Also, Vishnu Purana says that Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Purappuman Vishnu Raradhatya Panta Nanyat Tattosha Karanam. In ultimate sense, Lord Vishnu is to be worshipped, and that is the only way to please Him. And in order to please Lord Vishnu and perform devotional service, we need to follow the varnas and ashramas. And we see that various devotees, Mahajanas, have exemplified these principles. There are ancient Mahajanas like Prithu Maharaj, Lord Rishwadev himself, even Dhritarashtra for that matter. Although Dhritarashtra was very highly attached to his kingdom and his sons, but after being chastised by his younger brother Vidura, he also set out to perform austerities as a Vanaprastha. So even ancient Mahajanas, so they could perform these austerities, performing their duties. And also there are recent Mahajanas like our Goswamis of Vrindavan and our Acharya like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, and of course our Srila Prabhupada, who have set the ideal example that how one can follow these varnas and ashramas perfectly, especially Vanaprastha Ashram. And also I would like to say about recent Mahajanas or modern Mahajanas. Ancient are those who were before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's era, and recent are those who took birth and practiced their principles after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, isn't it? And these modern Mahajanas are those people who have practiced all these principles in their lives, being Srila Prabhupada's disciples or his grand disciples. I would like to call them as modern Mahajanas, because we need to have some examples. Therefore it is said that an example is better than precept, isn't it? So there we may be hearing lots of philosophy, and that is very, very essential. At the same time we need to know and hear about the practical examples, isn't it? So that gives us some hope how they practiced it and how we can also try to do that. So therefore, such Mahajanas are available all the time. Only thing, we need to focus on them. So therefore, other days, you know, some of our devotees, they were explaining about how our recently devotee joined in Vanaprastha Ashram and performed their duties very well and made their way back to Godhead. So one, you know, I personally saw at least 2-3 examples. Abhiram Gopal Prabhu, who lived right in this ashram as a Vanaprastha, who set an ideal example. Although coming from a very rich aristocratic family, he was a big official in some CEO, as a CEO in some multinational company in Japan. And he returned, and actually his sons and daughters, they lived in Japan. He personally lived in Karachi, Pakistan. where he worked as a official. And when he understood that he need to perfect his life, so he came back to India. He came to Radha Gopinath temple here and lived amongst us. Although he didn't have much of any facilities to be here, but still he made it a point to be amongst us here, right here in this room nearby. I mean, just next to Gaurnita Hall, there used to be a small room, and that is where he stayed. And he was very particular about his sadhana, and especially service to his spiritual master, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And although he had all the opulences and so many family members, but still he preferred to stay amongst us here and perform austerities as Vanaprastha Ashrami does. And in 99, I think 2000, he left his body amongst the devotees chanting Hare Krishna before him. So thus he exemplified as a perfect Vanaprastha. And we also know about Shripati Prabhu, whom I also had interactions with him. He also lived amongst us here for some time. And every morning he used to recite Gajendra's prayers. I remember still. He used to be sitting in that courtyard and he used to recite every single morning Gajendra's prayers before even Mangalarti. And after some time he decided to go to Vrindavan Dham, and there he wanted to practice the remaining years of his life as a Vanaprastha. He took permission and blessings from his spiritual master and Vaishnavas, and he went to Vrindavan. And I saw also in Vrindavan, when I used to go to Vrindavan for my art seminars, he used to be staying at Daru Krishna Prabhu's place. You know, there's the ones flat of Daru Krishna Prabhu. He used to be staying there, and I used to be there for some time, for 15-20 days. And I saw him personally. He used to be getting up early in the morning every single day. He used to go to Krishna Balaram temple to attend Mangalarti, and till morning program he used to be there, and used to take temple prasadam. However austere it was for him, it was not a problem for him. So still he would try to follow all the rules and regulations being in Vrindavan Dham. And I used to see him personally, and it was such a nice example. And at times he used to come to Mumbai for his, you know, family duties, attending somebody's marriage or some other occasion. He used to come and just immediately leave for Vrindavan. And we started calling as Brajavasi, and he actually was a Brajavasi in the sense he exemplified perfectly as a Brajavasi. And I think year 2016, when I went to Vrindavan for Yatra, then that time I saw him the last time. I thought of, I didn't know anything about what is going to happen, but still I thought of offering him some fruits before I departed from Vrindavan. And he very happily accepted it, and he was very happy, and he blessed me. So I still remember those days, how he was interacting with all of us. And later on, when we hear recently that how he left his body in Sri Vrindavan Dham amidst all devotees chanting Hare Krishna and thus perfecting his life. And one more example I would like to quote here. One Advaita Prabhu, whom I saw personally in Odisha, especially our Gadadhar Gaur Prabhu. You must have seen Gadadhar Gaur Prabhu from Vidyapit batch. He has started his preaching in his own hometown near Bhuvaneshwar. And in that place, you know, it is a very small ashram containing about 4 or 5 devotees staying there. Students, basically kind of VTA he is carrying on. And in that ashram, one Advaita Prabhu, we called him Advaita Prabhu, he came and he decided to spend his last days of his life in the ashram. Although his sons and daughters and everybody is there, and he has a good amount of land to cultivate, also visited his hometown and saw his sons and daughters. They're all very well placed. But still he decided to come to live in the ashram at the end of his life. And his speciality was, he was into deity worship, although not at initiated, but then there was a need, so therefore he was given that service. He used to get up early in the morning and do the deity worship. And in front of the ashram there is a nice tulsi garden they have grown, a huge garden, so many tulsi trees. And every single morning he used to collect tulsis and used to prepare nice tulsi garlands for the Lord. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, of course Jagannath Baldev and Gaur Nithai, used to prepare 4 garlands every single day and used to offer. And whenever a devotee used to go to Puri Dham, very nearby, no? So he used to prepare long garlands, you know, big, real long garlands for Jagannath and Baldev. And he used to send through some devotees. Even sometimes I also took, prepared by him, tulsi garlands to offer it to Jagannath Baldev. I used to go and offer it to our Ramkumar Pandaprabhu, and he used to give the concerned devotees, pujaris, and they would offer these nice beautiful garlands of tulsi to Jagannath and Baldev in Puri Dham. And thus he was living there, and one fine day, as it happens, he had to go to Bhuvaneshwar, and actually very unfortunate that while he was walking, a vehicle hit him very hard, so he crashed down and he was admitted into the hospital, and then, as it happens always, so he breathed his last amidst devotees chanting Hare Krishna, and thus exemplifying a life of austerity and dedication. Here is Advaita Prabhu. And I would like to take one more example of Bhagwan Malodkar, who lived just nearby in Pune, who was the father of our god brothers like Sundarvar Prabhu and Sankirtan Anand Prabhu. You might be knowing Pune Temple, NVCC, they are staying. So this Bhagwan Malodkar came from Sholapur, that is where he took his birth, and he regularly visited Pandharpur, and he had great devotion for Lord Vitthal. And from his childhood he used to hear the Abhangas and Vaishnava Geets from all Vaishnava saints from Maharashtra, and thus he cultivated his devotional service since his beginning of his life. And being a very brilliant student in his college, he used to always stand in first in his studies. And later on, when he graduated, he took to the profession of teacher only, ultimately. And then he joined Chintamani Vidya Mandir, Pune, as a teacher, as a professor. And there, he performed such a nice service as a professor to the students. He became very famous very quickly. And seeing his, you know, fame and name, other colleagues of his, other professors, they started becoming envious of him. They were trying to create problems for him. Even then, he stood fast and did his duties. It so happened sometime that some envious people started, you know, threatening him also, because he was really becoming a big figure in that college. So envious people, they started, you know, threatening him, and there were life threats against him. But still he was not at all budged. He was just performing his duties. And then he would tell anybody, such people used to come in front of him, he used to tell, you need to send your sons and daughters to the college, and I'll take care of them. I'll take care of their studies, you don't have to worry. And once it so happened, one old lady, widow, she came to Bhagwan Prabhu, and she started weeping and crying, and she said, what is the problem? that my son is so very dull-headed, I don't know whether he will pass or not, so you please, somehow or other, pass him. You do whatever you want to do. So crying in tears, so she took her, you know, golden bangles and offered in front of Bhagavan Prabhu. And he was very much moved. He said, I am taking a nice salary from the college. You don't have to pay anything for me, for my service. So as a teacher, I'll do anything and everything to help the students. You don't have to do any such things. Saying that she returned. And thus, he used to spend extra hours to teach his students in the college. Not conducting extra classes in the evening, but right there in the school, in college, to help the students. Thus, he also set a nice example as a college professor. And seeing his sterling qualities and nice example, ultimately he became principal of the college, Chintamani Vidya Mandir. And he rendered quite nice service even after that. And later on in 2002, he took voluntary retirement, VRS. And then he wanted to perform his devotional service. Not before even coming to Krishna consciousness. Being a Varkari, he used to visit Pandharpur and all of that. And from his wife Shalini, he had three sons, Prashant, Siddhant and Prakash. Prashant was senior and eldest son, and Siddhant became Sankirtanananda Prabhu, and Santosh Prabhu became Sundarvar Prabhu. Before they becoming devotees, they used to be studying in COEP, College of Engineering, Pune. So there our Chaitanya Charan Prabhu used to regularly conduct classes. And they got attracted to the philosophy, and very nearby temple, Radha Kunj Bihari, they started going there. And they kind of decided that they wanted to dedicate their life as a full-time devotees, as brahmacharis in the temple. And they came to their father and explained their desire to dedicate their lives. And father, being a very nice gentleman, he said, as a father, I am very sad that you are leaving me at this juncture of my life. But as a practicing spiritualist, I am very, very happy that you are taking to such a bold decision that you want to dedicate your life in the service of Krishna. So that is very nice to hear from you. And he said, if this is going to make you happy, I don't mind. You please join. Thus he gave his permission and blessings. And with blessings and permission of their father, both the sons, they joined the Radha Kunj Bihari temple. And after this, Bhagavan Prabhu started practicing spirituality even more seriously. He started frequently visiting Radha Kunj Bihari temple after that. And thus became an ideal practitioner of spirituality, Krishna consciousness. And he read almost all Srila Prabhupada books. And especially he was very fond of Srila Prabhupada Lilamrut. Lilamrut was his very favorite book. And in the meantime, he and his wife Shalini took Diksha from His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj. So Bhagavan Prabhu became Baldev Prabhu after initiation. His wife Shalini Mataji became Surapriya Devi Dasi. Both husband and wife, and they started practicing spirituality. In the meantime, these Prashant and Prakash, they also took initiation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So thus the entire family was very highly Krishna conscious, and they were practicing. And it was a nice example to see everybody. And as I said, Lilamrut was his favorite book. So he used to read Lilamrut very often. And the example of Srila Prabhupada was very much helping him to mold his life in the future. When he heard, when he read from Leelamrita that Srila Prabhupada was, how much he was struggling to print back to quoted magazines and distribute them in the hot summer of Delhi. When Baldev Prabhu read all of these, he became very much inspired. And he said that if Srila Prabhupada at the age of 70 plus, if he can go and distribute these back-to-quoted magazines in the hot summer of Delhi and falling sick and having nothing to eat and performing such severe austerities, if Srila Prabhupada can do, then why can't I do that? That is how he decided. If Prabhupada can do so much, then I'll be able to do at least my little bit. Thinking like that, he took to this service. By the way, nobody told him to do this service. It was his voluntary acceptance of service to render this wonderful service to Srila Prabhupada and his mission. So he distributed thousands and thousands and thousands of back-to-quoted magazines whomever he met. Because looking at his wonderful Vaishnava demeanor and example, such a nice gentleman, everybody got attracted to his purity and his dedication to the Krishna consciousness movement. So people accepted Back to Godhead magazines, and he made hundreds of subscribers, and he started distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And in those days, only post was the only option, Indian post. So we used to, temple used to send the Back to Godhead magazines to all the subscribers. But as we have heard and seen, that infamous and unreliable Indian post, however it is, hardly anybody received their copies. And there was a great dissatisfaction amongst all the subscribers. And this was even more dissatisfying to Baldev Prabhu, because he was the one who subscribed all these devotees or subscribers. But whenever he used to see them, then he said, oh, we didn't receive any copies. So he had to go to post office and to the temple and here and there. So he ultimately decided, this is not going to work like this. I'll do it myself. The attitude of one who is dedicated. He decided that why to depend on anybody. I'll do it myself. Because he had taken anyway by that time voluntary retirement. And then also he had taken Diksha. He decided that then I'll just go around and distribute Back to Godhead magazines. What is the problem? So by that time he was almost 52, 55, old age. Still he managed to go to every single town and village in entire Maharashtra region. And he used to go and personally give them their Back to Godhead magazines. And following in his footsteps of our devotees here in Radha Gopinath temple, especially our Balaramanand Prabhu, Yashoda Kumar Prabhu and others, they are also making this mission Mumbai very successful. And I heard that at least there are 70 devotees nowadays. They are going around and personally giving their Back to Godhead magazines. And also every Sunday we see here how there's a bookstall set up. People can come and take their copies either by hand, or else they, if they want now, they are, I think, coming up with this registration post, so that there is a surety that they will get their copies. Maybe they have to pay a little extra, but that doesn't matter. They'll get their copies at home. So thus, Baldev Prabhu took his mission very seriously. And he started distributing books all over Maharashtra. And he visited hundreds of villages all over Maharashtra and towns. Although in his old age, that was no problem for him. And in order to go around and give these books, nobody who will support him financially. He took his own money, pocket money, and he started spending that money and going all around and giving these back to God. That was not a problem for him, spending his own money. And he had to travel in bumpy, noisy and stuffy buses of Maharashtra to distribute his copies. That was not a problem for him. And he did this service almost more than 12 continuous years. Every year, every single month. In those days it was once in 2 months. Later on it became once a month. So he used to travel every single month, spending his own money and in such crowded buses of Maharashtra. And he did it almost more than 12 years. And he did this service till the fag end of his life. And in the meantime, what happened was that he was diagnosed with very serious cancer, abdominal cancer. And even then, you know, devotees started telling him, his own sons, now I think you need to take rest. This is a high time now. You have rendered enough service. Now there is no need. And so you have done enough service. So why don't you just relax now? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy at home. He was not ready for that. He said, no, I cannot, you know, sit home and do my own bhajan. So I have taken up this service and so I'll still do it. So although very highly ill at that time, still he went out and distributed his books. And after that, devotees advised him, now you have to undergo surgery. In Bijay Medical College, Saraswati Mataji performed very intense surgery. Even after surgery, he didn't stop. That time it was too much. Still he said, no, I have to go out and distribute these Back to God magazines. Still he went out and distributed Back to God magazines. That was not a problem for him. And Mataji says, Saraswati Mataji, if anybody who undergo these kind of surgeries, they really go wild, they go mad because of intense pain and all of those inconveniences. But in the example of Baldev Prabhu, it was very clearly evident that he was very sober and very fixed up. Although internally suffering too much, but still he was able to tolerate all of that. As it is the ashrama duty of Vanaprastha, he actually took Vanaprastha ashram in that sense. Not officially, but he did all the rules and followed all the rules and regulations. And thus, he went on distributing books even after the surgery. So as it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Praghada Premereyai Swabhava Achara Nija Dukkha Vignadira Nakara Vichara. Although there are so much dukkha and vigna in his life, but that did not matter to him because he was having that praghada prema and thus he could go and distribute his books. So in 2001, his wife Surapriya Mataji, she left her body because of her suffering from severe cancer. She also left her body. And the sons, all the three sons and husband, they tried everything humanly possible to save her. But because of her advanced stage, they could not save her. So she left her body. And Baldev Prabhu had two flats in Pune city. That means huge amount, you know, lakhs and lakhs of amount. So after that means he had already taken Vanaprastha ashram, he decided that now I am going to sell these two flats and divide amongst all the three sons. Actually he sold the flats and he got so many lakhs of rupees and divided perfectly amongst the three sons. Because of two of his sons had already become by that time brahmacharis, they said we don't want any share. Then he said, okay, then if you don't want, then I'll give it to the temple. So he handed it over to the temple president. And thus one son was living outside. Other sons, they started living. Anyway, they were already brahmacharis. And this time he really took to spirituality very, very seriously. He said that now I have completed almost all of my responsibilities and duties. Now let me focus perfectly in Krishna consciousness. Saying like that, he decided to come and live in Radha Kunjvihari temple. Now Radha Kunjvihari temple is a very small temple as we have seen it. And Radheshyam Prabhu and his team of devotees, such a nice preaching, college preaching they were doing. There are hundreds and hundreds of students and every Sundays and Saturdays used to come and stay right in the temple. And there were some facilities made for them to stay. And Baldev Prabhu decided, now I am going to move to the temple. And everybody said, looking at his spiritual example, everybody encouraged him. Why not? So he started coming to the temple and he started staying there only, in the temple of Radha Kunjibihari. Although highly crowded and hardly any facilities, so still he said that, no, I am going to stay here. And he used to be staying in that very austere environment and taking whatever prasad available very gratefully, very gracefully. He accepted all the mercy given by the devotees and the Lord and started living there as a perfect vanaprastha. He had undergone all those surgeries and so much of medication he was taking. It was really inconvenient for him to be staying there and doing all his services. Even then he was going out and distributing his Back to Godhead magazines. Still he continued as a perfect vanaprastha ashrami. So it so happened that after that his cancer started really troubling him, and ultimately it was decided that in temple it is hardly, he'll be taken care, so he should be shifted to some other place. And there was nearby no such place was available. One devotee came forward, Neeraj Kamte, who was a Ayurvedic physician by the profession. He came forward and he offered the facility. He had a small flat nearby temple, and he was Baldev Prabhu was given one single room, and there he started living and taking his medications and other things very seriously. In the meantime, Sundarvara Prabhu took leave from his service. He took permission to leave, and then he started living with his father, taking care of all his needs and necessities. And this was too much for Baldev Prabhu. Baldev Prabhu said, no, I am supposed to be serving devotees and the Lord, and you are all brahmacharis living in the temple. You are supposed to serve the mission of the Lord and your other duties you need to attend to. But then you are serving here, this is too much, I cannot bear this. So he used to send him back. And again the temple devotees would send Sundarvapu back to come to him and take service. So ultimately even Sundarvapu and other his sons, they said, no, it is our duty to take care of you now. If it was not for Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we would have never done these kind of services for anybody, what to speak of our parents. But it is our glory of Srila Prabhupada that who has taught us what are all our duties. So therefore we are able to render this service. So you please accept this service. After repeatedly telling him like this, at last Baldev Prabhu accepted, and then the days continued. In the last days of his life, it was too much for him to bear the pain, yet he went on and distributed his books. Sometimes because mostly he was admitted there, he couldn't go. So he used to visit all yatras, Vrindavan, Mayapur yatra, he used to visit. And in one yatras, he went to, of course every time possibly he went to Shantipur especially. And somewhere Shantipur he was very much attached to Advaita Acharya and that temple over there. And in his last days he used to murmur, I cannot just come out of Shantipur. And he was kind of getting attached to Shantipur and Advaita Acharya and his example. And in the year 2014, Gaur Purnima, he actually fasted from even water, which he used to do every time. That was the last year of his life. He fasted even from water, what to speak of anything else throughout the day. He came to the temple in that condition and he was staying there. He was taking, interest in sitting and hearing classes and kirtan all throughout the day. And thus he celebrated Gaur Purnima in the temple. And then again he was shifted back to his place because it was too much for him to bear the pain. So he used to tell, at last days he actually opened up his mind, he said to his sons, "Do you know how much I am suffering at this stage of my life?" He said that, "I am feeling as if burning electric straw is kept in my entire body." That means entire body was, you know, giving him so much trouble. And then he still chanted his rounds without fail. And whatever he could read from Srila Prabhupada books, he read it. And all so many devotees came to see him at this point of time. All those subscribers, BTG subscribers, they came. And they wanted to see him and wish him all the best. But then Baldev Prabhu he started telling after that now it is too much now. It is high time. So he told all the devotees, especially his family members. So many family members have used to come and wanted to see him. Then he said, now I fully want to focus on Krishna. So now you please allow me to do that. Saying like that, he took permission from all the devotees and he started concentrating fully on Krishna. And seeing the impending death, all the devotees, they called up His Holiness Radha Loknath Swami Maharaj and explained to him, "This is what is happening to our Baldev Guru." So immediately Maharaj he spoke to him on phone and he gave final instructions and he told him that you need to now fully focus on Krishna. Don't let your attention go here and there. Fully focus on Krishna. And saying like that, he chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. In the ears of his disciple Baldev Prabhu. So thus he heard holy name from his spiritual master. And after the few more days, you know, the last day of his life, year 2014, early morning, 6:30, I believe. That time, all devotees came together and in the midst of beautiful kirtan, Baldev Prabhu left his body. Of course, in the meantime, his sons and everybody were reading different books of Srila Prabhupada, Brahma Samhita, Gopi Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they were reading, and devotees are performing loud kirtan of the holy names. And in the midst of such a wonderful atmosphere, Baldev Prabhu departed to the spiritual world. And after that, His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj, he wrote an offering to his disciple Baldev Prabhu. He said that Baldev Das was not just a tireless BTG distributor. He was also a prominent supporter and fundraiser for Srila Prabhupada's Ghat project in Pandharpur Dham. And also an active preacher in Alandi Pandharpur Dindi Yatra, which is conducted annually, annual pilgrimage with tens and thousands of people. By his exemplary devotion and dedication, Maharaj says here, I am sure that he has returned back home, back to Godhead. So thus, our Baldev Prabhu has set a perfect example as a Vanaprastha ashram. So, as our Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art still living in the sound. Vaishnava died to live and while living spread the holy name around. So thus the examples like of our Baldev Prabhu and other devotees, they are icons. We can always get inspiration from these examples and perfect our lives. So we see these examples are really inspiring, but at the same time it appears that nobody can imitate them because they were on a such high consciousness. So looking at that, you know, devotees have, and Srila Prabhupada himself have encouraged devotees to, after completion of their duties as a grihastha ashram, in grihastha ashram, they can take up to their services more seriously and their sadhana more seriously. And why not, even if they can live in their own homes and practice their spirituality, understanding the, taking the mood and spirit of these devotees and all our irishant and ancient mahajanas who actually gone out of home and performed severe austerities, living in such austere conditions. And devotees like Baldev Prabhu and others, they rendered service right living in ISKCON and living at their homes. So we have got such nice examples to follow. So therefore, as I said, an example is better than precept. So we have such nice examples around us. So we can follow them and perfect our lives. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki. Nitai Gaura Primanandai.